Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good middle of the night, and welcome back to Cases of Color. I know that I've been gone for a very long time, but I'm super glad to be back. When coronavirus hit and I was homeschooling my children, trying to figure out my work situation, I've also had a lot of new changes coming up with work, like literally changing into a completely different career field. I've been super busy, so I'm sorry for my absence, you guys, but I'm so excited to be coming back. Literally a year to the day that I put out my very first episode. I know that I haven't always posted all the time. However, I am really excited to have been doing this for an entire year, that a whole year has gone by. And since I've brought Cases of Color to light, and I just want to say thank you to every single one of you who has been here, to all my new subscribers and new listeners, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Make sure that you get caught up with every single episode of Cases of Color. As always, if you're not following me on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Cases of Color on Twitter and Instagram, please give me a follow so we can keep up, we can talk, we can discuss. I actually post pretty frequently and I love to hear from you all. If you all comment or send me a message, I am more than happy to hear it. Additionally, if you DM me or you have case suggestions, please send those my way as well, because I really, really, really love to hear those. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's just get into a really quick life update, you guys. I'm very sorry that I left you without Adobe to step two, but it's been a lot, man. It's been a lot. Coronavirus just came through and just really posed some different adverse challenges for me and for my family. So I thought it was best to just take a break. And I think that's important to do when you have a lot going on. And with everything that's going on, I almost didn't come back to the podcast. Like, I almost didn't come back. And not that I wanted to stay away permanently, but after the death of Ahmaud Arbery and then George Floyd, it just turned into a lot. And it's just, it's the heaviest. It's heavy. And if you're Black, I know you know what I'm talking about. Like, this shit weighs on you. And I'm seeing a lot of performative activism with the Black Squares, with people saying Black Lives Matter, which I'll get into that in a minute. And I'm happy for it. I'm happy that people want to support the movement. But I'm also very cautious about what people are doing. And like I said, we'll cover that more. But right now, I want to talk about something that my amazing friend Charmaine brought up in a conversation, and it really sparked my inspiration for who to make this podcast episode about when I came back. And this week's episode, thanks to my beautiful friend Charmaine, please follow her at Simply Char on all her platforms. She's an amazing Black woman, vegan chef, very outspoken, and I love her with every ounce of my heart. Today we're going to talk about Breonna Taylor. And I would like to say first and foremost, this is not to take away from Ahmaud Arbery. This is not to take away from George Floyd. But this is to bring light to a demographic that is often forgotten in the Black Lives Matter movement and in the fight against police brutality. And that is Black women. Black women are at the forefront of these movements. We are on the front lines of these protests. We love Black men and our communities relentlessly and with so much vigor and passion. Yet when we die, we are never the focus of a movement. We are never in the front of a movement the way we put Black men in the front of everything. And for that, I feel like it is my duty to talk and focus on and shine a light on Breonna Taylor specifically, because her killers have still not been put in jail. They have not been charged. They are walking the streets every day since she passed away. And that is just absolutely unacceptable. So that is who we are going to talk about today. Breonna Taylor was born on June 5th, 1993. She was murdered by the police on March 13th, 2020. She was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her parents are Tamiko Palmer and Troy Herod. She graduated from Western High School and she went to the University of Kentucky. She was an emergency medical technician, lovingly known to us as an EMT, and she worked at two hospitals, the University of Louisville Jewish Hospital and Norton Healthcare. At the time of her death, she was working at the University of Louisville Health, and she was laid to rest on March 21st, 2020, by her family. So, sometime after midnight on March 13th, the Louisville police entered Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend Kenneth Walker's apartment using a battering ram to force open the door. They were investigating two men who they believe were selling drugs at a home far from the apartment. Yes, you heard that correctly. Two men who were not at Breonna Taylor's apartment. But it was included in a signed no-knock search warrant because it was believed that one of the men used the apartment to receive packages. Now, the man had been seen walking into the apartment in January with a UPS package before leaving and driving to a known drug house. So it was claimed that they confirmed that the man had been receiving packages at the apartment. But Postal Inspector Tony Gooden said that he never spoke to Louisville PD about the issue and would not have been able to supply that information anyways. So warrants such as these have become commonplace during the war on drugs, and these are no-knock warrants. A no-knock warrant is basically where you do not have to get the individual's awareness that you are going to enter their home with the intent to search. You can literally beat down the door. The person does not have to be there. And you have free rein to remove the people and any items from the home based on that warrant. Okay, this is a good old Ronald Reagan tactic that we see coming on with the quote-unquote war on drugs, aka the war on the black community, because we aren't the only people who use drugs in America. And I am very much against no-knock warrants. I feel like at the end of the day, if we are American citizens and if we are not given the opportunity to be made aware that the purpose of someone being at our home, regardless of the time of night, is for them to serve out a quote-unquote criminal warrant, then it should not be happening. And with a no-knock warrant, officers do not have to announce themselves when they are entering into any place. So the police claimed that they did announce themselves while entering the home. They said that they knocked several times, and they said that they were Louisville police officers with a search warrant. But neighbors and Taylor's family have disputed this claim. They said that there was no announcement and that Walker and Taylor believed someone was breaking in, causing Walker, which is the boyfriend, to act in self-defense. So when Walker hears them knocking on the door and then this, or them knocking like this loud bang with the battering ram, he gets his gun because for him, it's the middle of the night. I'm hearing a humongous bang at my door. Somebody's trying to open it. Somebody is probably trying to break into my home. I feel like that is what I would do. So I totally see the logic in him being alarmed like that. And again, if someone's breaking into your home and you're trying to defend yourself, whether you have a weapon or not, your first instinct should be to act quickly. So you don't have time to figure out who it is and peek around the corners and do all the scary movie tactics that you would, you know, that you see in the movies where people end up getting killed. It is fight or flight, because any moment that you waste could cost you your life. He said, "Who is it?" And that nobody answered him, so that he armed himself and heard no response. And so what he did was he decided to fire a shot through the door. And when he shot, he struck a police officer in the leg. So once he did that, the officers opened fire. They shot more than 20 rounds into the home. It hit the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, the hallway, the bathroom, and both bedrooms. But the worst part is that Breonna Taylor was shot 8 times. She was pronounced dead at the scene. And about this search warrant, absolutely no drugs were found in the apartment. According to some sources, they say one of the three officers allegedly fired blindly from the exterior of the residence, which means outside, through a window with closed blinds and curtains. They do not believe that Breonna Taylor was struck by any of those bullets, but nevertheless, the bullets did come from outside because one of the officers was outside. And for that, I have a lot of questions. Did the person outside just start firing because they heard gunshots? And even still, is that actually the appropriate response to just fire blindly into a home? You don't know if there's children there. You don't know who is in this home, but you're just going to fire into it because I just hear gunshots. This just goes to, honestly, the shitty policing here in America, because who thinks that that is just the logical thing to do when you are shooting blindly into a home where you don't even know how many suspects, you don't even know how many innocents are also in the home? I don't understand how things like this can happen. But at the same time, it isn't shocking because look where we live and look at the things that happened and look at how we are senselessly killed by the police. So one of the craziest things to happen here, one of the worst things to happen here, is that Breonna Taylor lost her life. This woman is gone for something she did not do. Something that now the postal investigation officer is saying that he couldn't even have confirmed. So where did the Louisville PD get their information from? Where did they gather this information from? And I ask because I just don't understand how they came to the conclusion to add this house because they saw someone walking out of it with a package. Where did this come about? And on top of that, her boyfriend was arrested and he was initially charged. They said that he was going to be charged with... They said that he was going to be charged with attempted murder. Fortunately, an update to that is that all the charges have been dropped. However, it really took the power of the internet. Up until we heard about this story, this man was sitting in his home on house arrest due to COVID-19, pending an attempted murder charge on a police officer who served a no-knock warrant, who did not announce themselves, and then fired over 20 shots into this apartment blindly. None of them were able to see what they were hitting and where they were shooting at. They just shot into the apartment 20 times. 20 times. And 8 of those bullets killed Breonna. 8 bullets shot this black woman and ended her life. An essential worker, someone who is serving the city of Louisville and keeping people safe, getting people to and from the hospital for their safety, to save their life. Not one person had anything bad to say about her. People loved her. She was well loved by her family and well loved by her boyfriend. And now she's gone. On May 15th, her family filed a wrongful death lawsuit. It states that Taylor and her boyfriend were sleeping before the incident happened. The officers were in unmarked vehicles. And they also were not wearing body cams. They were all in plain clothes. And they were not wearing body cams because in Kentucky it is apparently not mandated for police to wear body cams. So unfortunately, we will never truly know exactly what happened to her. And unfortunately, Breonna is dead and her boyfriend, it's his word against these cops. And unfortunately, I do not believe that her or her family is going to get the justice they deserve. And that makes me sick. It makes me angry. So angry. Because how is this even ethical? How is this even constitutional? It's not like you're rolling up on Al Capone here. Like, seriously? A no knock? Plain clothes? No body cams? How convenient. How convenient. Walker did what he was supposed to do, what any good partner would do for their partner, which is protect them, which is keep them safe. If someone broke into our home, please believe my husband is going to go out of his way to protect me. He's not going to ask questions. He's not going to assume it's a police officer either. He's going to shoot first, ask questions later. Because that's what you do to defend your home and your family. But apparently, that was too much. Fortunately, the Federal Bureau of Investigation took over on May 21st and is making sure that an investigation is conducted in a fair and impartial manner. But the sad part is people get excited about stuff like this and I don't. And the reason why that I don't is because we see too often how these people will get charged. These people will go to trial and nothing will happen to them. Nothing. Not one thing. And that's the part that bugs me. So, on top of all of this, she was protested for on May 26th because that's when the story started to make its way out. And also on May 28th as well. There's been a lot going on in Louisville. People are obviously very upset with the cops. I don't blame them. And on top of that, it was a long time before things really got out. It wasn't until about May 13th-ish that the governor of Kentucky even responded to what was coming out about Breonna Taylor. We didn't even know what happened until almost 2 months later. 2 months later, after this woman dies. I don't know what's up with this, but I don't like it. I do not like it. And this is where I'm going to really get into the shits, okay, with everybody. Let me tell y'all something. I don't know what it is about not putting black women at the front, just like we do black men, but that shit needs to stop. Black women are just as important and as vital to the black community as anyone else. Her life is just as important as George Floyd's. Her murder, her assassination by the police is just as important as anyone else's. Why is it that when it is a woman, it gets talked about for a brief moment and then people gotta remind you in the midst of other deaths to say her name? And I want to, again, make it clear, because I know somebody will jump up in my comments because they don't listen to words. I am not taking away from any death of any black man. None of us deserve to die, especially at the hands of the police or racist or white supremacists. None of us. Men, women, whether that be cisgender or trans, by the way, because we're going to get into that too. No one deserves to die. But most importantly, no one deserves to be forgotten. Black women, we are often forgotten, and we are forgotten by black men. Why are some of y'all, not all of y'all, but why are some of y'all forgetting us? Why is it that when one of your brothers dies, you go up, and when it's one of us, you share a hashtag, you never say it again? Ever. Why? This whole talk of the conversations I got to have with my son, the conversation. Do you know the conversation I had to have with my 10-year-old daughter who asked me blatantly, what do I have to do when I see a police officer so that I don't die? I don't have sons. I have daughters. But the threat is still real because they are killing black women too. And I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. I'm yelling because I'm passionate about it. I'm yelling because it breaks my heart that I'm walking my child through putting her hands up, stating her name, telling them her age, because you know how they like to dehumanize us and age us as if we're older than we actually are, to let them know that she does not have anything on her person that will hurt or harm them and that she is unarmed. To not move, to try and remain calm in a situation where she might die. But y'all want to only focus on what you have to say to your sons? We all got to have them damn conversations, man. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. And that's women included. That is women included. And let me jump something else on there. That's trans people included. They are black people too. That's gay people that are murdered as well. They are black people too. How dare some of y'all who are bigoted towards people because of their sexual orientation, you will sit there and you will tell a white person all lives can't matter until black lives matter. Well, how are black lives gonna matter if we as black people are excluding certain marginalized black people from the equation? Our LGBTQIA people, they are included in that equation. They are black people as well. We cannot sit here and ignore their deaths because we don't agree with their lifestyle. What? What? And what you especially don't get to do is forget about the women who have moved this movement forward. From Harriet Tubman to the Panthers to right now. Black women, we are on the front lines. We are taking knees for you. We are getting shot in the face with rubber bullets for you. And we would want you to do the same for us. Do the same for us. Show up for us the way we show up for you. Take a knee for us the way we take a knee for you. Jump in front of a rubber bullet for us the way we do it for y'all countless times. Women are having miscarriages because of how the police are manhandling them. And they came out there for you. So show up for them. Show up for Breonna Taylor. Show up for a Tatiana Jefferson, who we have seen no movement in her case. She was in her home playing video games with her window open, minding her business, and she was shot by a police officer who was in her backyard. He did not challenge her. He didn't tell her to put her hands up. He saw her in her own window and shot her and killed her while her nephew slept. Show up. Because we are going to show up for you. So we expect the same. And I'm going to say something else. The LGBTQIA people, the black ones, they are at these marches too. They are at these marches when you probably would never march for them. And they still show up. They still show up because they're still black people. If they can see it, even if they know you wouldn't have their back, why can you not see the same? And why can you not show up for them? You cannot tell any other group to not say all lives matter because you need to focus on Black Lives Matter when you as black people cannot include everybody. And that's not all black people who act like that. But to the ones that do, you need to check yourself. To the ones that are so quick to talk about George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, but you forgot about Tatiana Jefferson. You didn't even recognize the name. You need to fix yourself because your sisters are dying too. Our daughters are dying too. And us black women are keeping everybody safe. We put the team on our back every time. For once, sweep us off our feet and let us rest. Because we know y'all got us the rest of the way. Black women just want to be supported. We want to be supported and we want to be loved. And we want to be thought of and we want to be cared for. We want to be just as important as our brothers, just as pushed to the forefront as our brothers. And that starts with all of y'all. All of us black people, we all have to be equally important to each other. Period. Because at the end of the day, they don't care if you're gay, trans, straight, big, small, light-skinned, dark-skinned, whatever. We're all black. So we all need to have each other's back. End of the story. I'm very fired up about this. I'm trying not to get emotional. This is not going to be one of the longer episodes that I record, but I just want to end this recording by talking about the black women whose lives have been lost And I'm going to say every single one of their names. And I just want you all to think. And if you don't know who these women are, you need to do your Googles and you need to look them up. I will be sharing these names in the post that I post on Instagram and Twitter. And I encourage you to look and look into these stories and see about these girls and women, black women, black girls that have been killed. Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Jones, Pearlie Golden, Tarika Wilson, Miriam Carey, Chantel Davis, Taisha Miller, Kendra James, Shelly Frey, Sharice Francis, Shalina Weldon, Erica Collins, Aidesha Miller, Alicia Thomas, Darnisha Harris, Dolores Epps, Heather Parker, Jacqueline Robinson Culp, Karen Day Jackson, LaPortia R. Watson, Michaela Ross, Melissa Williams, Monet Turnage, Robin Tanisha Williams, Chantel Davis, Sandra Bland, Atatiana Jefferson, Breonna Taylor. As always, thank you for listening to the podcast. I love and appreciate all of you. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Cases of Color. Until next time.